If you have your Bibles, I want you to go with me to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1, we're going to camp out in verse 11 today. We're going to have a good time doing it. We're using that as our jump off. And before we pray, we're in week 4 of a series that we launched into entitled The High Ground, taking a look at a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to a group of Christians that I've said and I'll repeatedly say throughout this. And as we conclude next week, it very much parallels where we find ourselves as a church, as a community, as new believers meeting Jesus for the very first time. And so what had happened was they had heard the gospel. They heard about the resurrected Christ. They laid hold of it. They believed it. They understood the grace of God, and now they're walking in it. And what Paul is beginning to tell them is there is untold potential in and among you. But in order for you to realize that potential, there's a high ground to Christianity rather than the low ground. And we're not doing the bare minimum. We're not dancing on the line closest to sin. We're not going to try to get by the skin of our teeth. We're going after all that God has in store. And so Paul begins to sort of unpack what it is that exactly looks like. And so week 1, we looked at the potential within the believer. The second week, we looked at what is it to lead a life pleasing unto God, worthy of the call. Last week, we looked at this idea of being productive for Jesus, leading a life that, as Paul talks about, everything that your hand is put to do, it is productive in every good work. And so we looked at this idea of having strong roots and weeding without a G, all right, weeding, and then really allowing God to prune us when need be so that ultimately we are at our maximum productivity. And this week, we're going to camp out in verse 11, and we're going to look at this idea of being empowered for patience. Mm-hmm. Yippee. Amen. So I'm going to pray because we're going to need it. All right. I don't know if you're anything like me. Patience comes real easy. All right. Just kidding. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you. We need you. We are a desperate and needy people, Father. But we've gathered here this evening, Lord, to look into your word, to learn from you, and ultimately, Father, our heart's desires that we would become more like you. And so, Father, by your Holy Spirit and by your good work, I pray, Father, that you would come and you would do the necessary work needed, Father, that you'd comfort us, you'd convict us, you'd stretch us, but ultimately, you would conform us into the image of the Son. For your glory and for our joy, we pray in Jesus' awesome name. Amen. Colossians chapter 1, I'm going to pick up in verse 9 where I have been. Paul writes to them, thanking them, talking about how much, you know, grateful he finds joy in them for what's become of them. And so Paul begins in verse 9 and says this, "For this reason also, since the day we've heard this, about the good report, we haven't stopped praying for you. And we're asking that you may be filled with knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Here's that big linchpin in there. "So that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, bearing fruit in every good work, and growing in the knowledge of God. And may you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy." One more time. That last verse, "May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy." Now, just to level the playing field here, again, what I just said, you know, for most of us, and I believe that we're all in the same boat here, patience can be extremely elusive for us. It does not come easy. If we find ourselves demonstrating patience in one moment, you just hang tight because there's one coming that we don't. It feels like, man, this is a hard character trait for us to master. And I would just argue that the importance of this, there's a reason that Paul, out of this sort of succession of disciplines or succession of character traits, 4 in total that he's going to list as primary needs within the believer, he does not skip over patience on purpose. And so what he's saying here is I do not stop praying for you that you are filled with his power, that be God's power, by the work of the Holy Spirit, his glorious might, not something that you and I can muster or sort of, you know, contrive, so that in your and my life there is a produced patience and endurance. Now, just so we understand, so that we have a working definition of what we're going after here, I think there's all kinds of diverse sort of perspectives and definitions of patience, but I want to use this one right here. That patience, as Paul's referring to, is a calm endurance based on the certain knowledge that God is in control. Rather than this idea of just restraint, or rather this idea of just trying to react rather than respond, or rather than this idea of trying to sort of hold yourself back from what you really want to do and wait, Paul is giving it a much more grand sort of underpinning. And what he's saying is that patience in the life, certainly at the church at Colossae, a group of people that was now following Jesus and now they're suffering a little persecution. They're living in a culture that's somewhat hostile. They're living in a culture that had been swept away from the simplicity of the gospel. They started with Jesus, some of them, and now they're no longer walking according to the simplicity found in Jesus plus nothing equals everything. They've added to it. So now they're looking at the church of Colossae with a little sort of irritation. They're mocking them. They're not finding that the group that they once were with are still with them. And so they're starting to sort of buckle a little bit under the cultural pressure to conform to a watered-down gospel. And what Paul is writing them is saying, I pray that you are empowered by his Holy Spirit so that you're able to hang tough and endure with patience, with joy, and having a calm endurance based on the certain knowledge that God is fully in control. That sounds great. That sounds wonderful. But to flesh that out in a daily life where we're managing relationships, where things are not working out as we had hoped, where we got questions about, you know, our political landscape and our economic stability and the world that we live in and the hostility that we're facing and things that we need and things that we want, and we can't produce them, and we have to demonstrate patience. We have to sort of, you know, fall into this calm and this endurance based on this mentality that God is fully in control. That's easier said than done. Amen? Now, here's why. Here's why. I want to just give you a couple reasons before we discount why this is so hard. When it comes to patience in the life of the believer, in you and I, there's some reasons why it's so fundamentally hard to produce this or to have this discipline in our lives. Number one is because it is contrary to human nature. Meaning, you're not born patient. Now, I don't know about you, but if you were, then you're an anomaly, all right? I'm going to go as far as to say you're a freak, okay? Because I have three children, 10, 7, and 4, none of which were born patient, all right? And that was demonstrated from the hospital all the way to their current age. And before I throw stones at them, I'm just a 38-year-old big kid. I don't have a patient bone in my body, all right? Naturally found in and of myself. And so I don't know, for those of us that have kids, my kids grew up wanting it like immediately, to the point that you'll hear, mommy, 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 mommy. Okay, she's not in the room any longer. Daddy, 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 daddy. To where I am literally deaf to my kids now. Like, I don't know how it happened, but it just happened where they will be like 6 feet from me saying, daddy, dad, I don't even hear them. I don't even hear them. And I think that's Jesus. He's like, I'm going to bless you. I'm gonna make you deaf for a minute. I mean, I hear it. And then I'll hear Ruth yell from upstairs, Paul, answer the kids. You know, and it's like, I didn't even hear them. I mean, they're right there. But what they want it right now. And then you give them that, and then they want something else right now. We are not born with this, okay? So just to be mindful of that. Second to that is that when Jesus is producing this fruit of patience, as Galatians is going to talk about, you and I naturally produce a weed of selfishness, anger, and pride that chokes it right out. So though you and I aren't born with patience, what we are, as King David says, in sin I was conceived, you are born prideful, you are born selfishly, and you are born with this propensity towards anger if you don't get you what you want when you want it. You feel me? And look at me like, I got three heads, all right? We're in this together. You feel me? So we do that. And so as soon as Jesus starts to cultivate from the soil of our heart, when he's working on us, patience, that weed of selfishness and pride grabs hold of it, cracks it, throws it to the ground. This is why it's so hard to produce, because those weeds are typically so strong within our life. Just to be conscious of that. Thirdly, not only is patience not really, it's contrary to our human nature, but it's contrary to the culture in which we live in. And I mean that in a very distinct way. In the Western culture, we live in a culture of immediacy. We get what we want, when we want it, how we want it. We wait for nothing. So if you go on Amazon, you're not getting the Amazon regular. You want Prime. Why? Because Prime gets you next day delivery. If you don't wait in line. I mean, you know, I've been trying to go to Steak and Shake for I don't know how long. I ain't waiting in line for Steak and Shake, right? I don't even like McDonald's. I'll go there. Why? Because I don't want to wait. You know, I mean, you can't get reception, you know. Meanwhile, your cell phone is sending signals to outer space, right? Trying to get a satellite to pick up so that you got something. I mean, you have to wait more than 4 seconds, you're ready to throw it. God forbid you have to wait more than a minute to download that video because you didn't go with Fios. You feel me? And you're angry, okay? You get behind somebody that's doing 10 over the speed limit, you've lost your religion because they're not blitzing it past 25 miles an hour. You're like, that guy should be in the slow lane. He's doing 80. It's ridiculous, but this is in us. And it's contrary. Now, you go to a third world nation, true story, where they don't have the luxuries, niceties, and conveniences we do. They're not in a hurry. They're much more willing to endure, to suffer, to wait for. Their mentality to sit back and chill, that is congruent with their culture, because they've never had anything to promote this immediacy where they feel entitled. Listen, brothers and sisters, this is our reality. Though it is very much a convenience, and I love the United States of America, hear you me, it has not played to our favor in the way of character refinement. It's been a detriment because we feel like, oh, I wait for nothing. So much so, lastly, and I would conclude with number four, reasons that patience is so hard to come by is because we have actually within our culture made impatience a virtue. This is why every time you get around somebody, it's this cultural norm to say, hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm busy. I'm grinding. I'm nonstop, bell to bell, and every day, you know? That's my hustle. Struggle's real. You feel me? Okay? I mean, this is what we do. We're always talking about how busy we are, how fast we're going, and things, you know, but be that we wear that as a badge, what also we wear as a badge is this sort of type A get or done mentality. Oh, I get things done. I'm productive. I don't waste time. I'm about, you know, means. This is what I do. And so we have actually congratulated people on this idea of impatience, that we've made that the virtue. How much you can get done within 24 hours, how many days in a row you can burn the candle at both ends, how busy you are, that's what's rewarded. When in fact, what Scripture shows us is that patience, slowing down, the ability to wait, that's the virtue. This is why Proverbs 16 says, better a patient man than a warrior, and a man who can control his temper than one who takes a city. Think about that for a minute. Better is a patient man than a warrior, and better is one who can control his temper than one who can take a city. See, what Paul was saying when he wrote to the church at Colossae is this big idea, that the Holy Spirit, by his power, produces patience, and patience is powerful. Power produces patience, and patience is powerful. People that are patient, that have refined this character trait, has the ability to wait, has the ability to remain calm and steadfast with the understanding that God is fully and completely in control. That is powerful, friends. That isn't anxious, isn't all stirred up, isn't reactionary, isn't like impulsive, but can just wait, knowing God's got this. And for that reason, Paul will say, when he writes to the church at Thessalonica, he says this, live in peace with each other. This isn't like Paul's not being pithy or theoretical here. Paul is being practical and encouraging. Live at peace with each other, and then we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. What Paul is saying there is that power produces patience, and patience is powerful. Patience is a game changer. And so listen, there's some of us that are here this evening, and let's just get in it together. You're really struggling with this idea of patience. It's this idea of you're waiting for an apology. You're waiting for him and or her to make that change that's going to lend itself to harmony in your relationship. You are tired of being married to crazy, and you're like, I'm running out of patience. That's going to hurt later, brother. All right? That's. But I'm with you. But hear me. There's some of us where we feel like we're tired of enduring, you know, being taken advantage of. We want the payoff. We want the recognition from the boss. We want our kids to stop being the prodigal. We want the turnaround. We're growing impatient in the in-between, in the meantime. We're trusting God, but we're standing on his promises, but waiting is taking a really long time. You're doing good, but man, you're losing heart in your well-doing. And so you understand that you know that you need to be patient, but it's hard because You've tried to exercise patience, but man, your bandwidth is running nil. And I want you to understand that in God's economy, patience is not just what gets you and I through. It is a product that he wants to produce in. It is Christ-likeness. You and I can't circumvent patience and say, I want to be like Jesus. I want to follow him. I want to be a disciple, but I don't want to be patient. In the very essence of Jesus, what we see is a man that was patient. It was a man that endured, that had a calm, steadfast in the face of adversity. Why? Because he knew that his Father was fully and completely in control. Patience is the product that Jesus is trying to produce in you. And though we all may say, amen, I understand that, I get that, it's really important that we understand the why behind that. That though that be the what, the why behind the what is exceedingly important. And I just want to give you several reasons why Scripture says in Proverbs 16, it is better to be patient than a warrior, and it's better to be have a one that can strain his temper than one that can take a city. First reason is this, is because a patient person can help heal a broken relationship. A patient person can help heal a broken relationship. I'm not just talking about enduring a broken relationship, waiting until the relationship is healed. A patient person can help heal a broken relationship. Listen to what Proverbs 15 says. A hot-tempered man stirs up dissension, but a patient man calms a quarrel. A patient man actually affects the relationship. Take case in point, Joseph. So for those of you that don't know, Joseph, in the mid portion of the book of Genesis was a man that was dealt a really bad hand. His brother sold him to slave traders. He found favor in his father's eyes that sort of invoked the jealousy in and among his brothers. His brothers had such an angst and against him that they wound up selling him. And Joseph spent years and years just being sold and moved from rulers and overseers. For years in imprisonment and a slave and far from his parents, to the point that his father thought he was dead. And in the midst of it all, in the midst of all of the injustice, Joseph remained patient that God was going to work it out. Like incredible. Never claiming his rights. We don't read anywhere in scripture that he flipped out and was angry at the injustice done to him. He endured it all the way to where he was promoted and found the favor of God upon his life, that he was graduated to platform to platform, all the way to where at one point there was an Israel, an ancient Palestine, and there was a famine in Israel, that his brothers had to come to him in need, not knowing that Joseph was second in charge over all of Egypt at the time, and his brothers came seeking food, and lo and behold, there was Joseph that had risen according to God's providence and sovereignty to a platform that he actually could weigh into their life. He could punish them greatly for the injustice they inflicted upon him. And they came to him in need, and he saw them, though they did not see him. Scriptures say that Joseph, so filled essentially with the Spirit of God, that when he could have crushed them, he said to them, what the enemy intended for evil, God used for good. And Joseph, actually in his patience and in his endurance, knowing that God was fully in control, became the reconciling agent to his family and fully restored and blessed like it never would have been had he grown impatient in the hand dealt him. It was an amazing, amazing story. And this is why the scripture says, through patience, a ruler can be persuaded. Patience is powerful. So I had a friend, dear friend, and I don't know if I have a story likened to this one that is so sort of paramount and marquee in my mind. His friend was married. They were married for approximately 7 years at the time, had two beautiful kids. And I have liberty to tell you this story. His wife had an affair that was a flagrant sort of disrespect and disregard of him, had an affair with a guy and almost sort of, threw it in her still husband's face, had a child in the midst of her affair, and showed no remorse over it whatsoever. And this gentleman, though counseled, hey, you can file for divorce, you can end this right here, you have an exit ramp, he repeatedly said, nope, I'm going to remain patient because I want to love her through this. And love her he did. And he would repeatedly love her with no reciprocation. Hear you me. I mean, I could go into great detail. No return whatsoever. And he knew that, see, sin has its pleasure for a season, but eventually this is going to bring about death. And so he endured it. He endured it like nobody that I've ever seen. And lo and behold, that relationship hit a wall. And she realized, wait a minute, I left my husband. I left my two beautiful children. I have wrecked everything. I've squandered money. I have broken trust with anyone and everyone that was in our circle. I have nowhere to go. And yet he said, you can come on back home. And to this day, not only are they restored fully, they have an exemplary marriage, and they are influential into marriages that they have availed themselves to in the most beautiful way that brings much glory to Jesus. Why? Because he remained patient even when he didn't have to. Patience is powerful. Powerful. It doesn't just get you through. It fixes things in the midst of. A patient person can help heal broken relationships. And for that reason, Paul says, be patient with everyone. Second to that is not only can a patient person help heal a broken relationship, a patient person gives God time to work. Now, I don't know about you, but most of us, we're like, well, listen, God, we don't really want to give you time to work. How about you just get to it right now? Because we'll do the working for you. Just use me to fix it. I'm here. I'm boots on the ground. Just let me at it. And this is why David said, wait for the Lord in Psalm 27. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Patience is the product. So just to let you know, you don't sign up to follow Jesus and he doesn't drill down to cultivate patience in your and my life. Oh, he's going to work on that. He's going to work on that. You and I don't get out of that class. That's not an elective. It's not like, well, I don't want that one. I want another one. No. This is part of every course right there. Patience is what Jesus desires to produce in your and my life. And this is why John Ortberg one time said, biblically, waiting is not just something we have to do until we get what we want. Waiting is part of the process of becoming what God wants us to be. So at times, you're going to have to wait. And at times, you're going to have to be patient. And at times, you're going to feel like, let's just fast track this, not knowing that he is a God of waiting. You know how bad news that is for us that are like, we don't like to wait. Forget wait. Wait's not cool at all. I wouldn't dare sit here and tell you that it's cool. What it is, it's part of his master plan. Consider for a minute, Abraham had to wait years for the child promised to him. Consider Sarah, decades for the child promised to her. Joseph, years of imprisonment, hardship, setbacks to realize God's favor on his life. Consider Moses, years in the desert, and then years in the Exodus to realize God's promise that actually, brothers and sisters, he never realized. Consider Ruth, years as she wanted a man so bad, but it had to be according to God's timetable. Consider Job, years to realize the redemption and restoration of what God put him through. And consider David, years for him to step into the kingship, even as a young shepherd boy. God is a God of waiting. Why? Because God is a God of patience. Patience actually allows for God to do his work. So Paul says in Romans 8, but if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. So I just want you to know that patience is what God really desires to produce in your and my life, considering that it's not consistent with the way that we're wired from birth, considering it's not consistent with the culture in which we live, considering that it's really hard to retain when you have the weeds of pride, and considering the fact that we have really honored and badged impatience, man, it's going to be really hard for us. But nevertheless, lastly, we wait and we cultivate patience because, and certainly towards others, because God is so patient with us. I mean, think about you as I think about me. You imagine how much patience it takes to tolerate us? And for those of us that sit here today and we're like, well, listen, I'm doing pretty good. He probably needs more patience with you than anybody. I'm pretty refined. My character's pretty stellar lately. Haven't dipped, chewed, cussed, chased, or act ugly. I'm stellar. No, you're a train wreck. And it takes patience with God to love you and me and tolerate and refine and work with, even when we think, nope, I'm arrived. It goes Jesus and then me. No, no. And so this is why Peter says, but do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises. Just stop right there. For some of you, there are promises that you've felt in your spirit. For some of you, there is things that you're trusting God for. There, some of you, there's words spoken over your life. For some of you, there's things that you've sought after, that you want, that you know they're going to come to fruition. God is not slow in keeping his promises. He is not a liar. He doesn't go back on his word. He doesn't leave you. He doesn't forsake you. He doesn't forget about you. He is with you fully, completely, and will be for eternity. So he is not slow in keeping his promises. However, as some understand slowness, but he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Consider what Jesus did with the woman at the well. 5 husbands, Jesus said, and yet I'm going to hang with you because I have a plan for you. I'm not going to give up on you. I know your whole background, all your dirt, and your laundry list. I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm never going to leave you or forsake you. Consider Zacchaeus, tax collector man that, man, nobody wanted anything to do with. Jesus was patient with him. Said, Zacchaeus, salvation's come to your door this day. I've been watching you. Your number's up. Me and you, we're going to do this thing together. Consider Peter that promised him, I'm never going to leave you. I'll follow you all the way to the death on the cross. Don't you worry. I'm going to hang with Peter. He hung right there with him. Consider you. Consider me. Jesus has been patient with us. And so think of that when you think about running out of impatience for that one that you've grown absolutely fatigued with. Consider when you think, nope, my wick has ran its course. I don't have anything else for you. Jesus has more for you. Consider that when you think, wait a minute, I'm tired of being taken advantage of. Consider how long our Savior was taken advantage of. And when you think, I don't have any more patience to give, I want you and I to be reminded he has more patience for us. Patience is a virtue. And so Paul will write and say, I pray, Timothy and I pray constantly that you be empowered as you're connected to the vine by his glorious might so that you have endurance and patience with joy. We can't circumvent it, and we desperately need it. Amen? Stand with me. Amen. Thank you. Father, we love you. I thank you for my brothers and sisters. And Lord, we live in a culture that, that Lord, is exceedingly impatient. And Father, we are impatient ourselves. We're critical. Father, we're filled with pride, filled with entitlement. But yet, Father, we're also filled with hurt. We're filled with want. Father, we're in the midst of situations that we so desperately want to see changed around. And Lord, I pray that as we wait, and as you do a work in us, Lord, that you would cultivate the virtue of patience. And Lord, I say that humbly and reverently, knowing that you, the course for patience isn't always easy. But Lord, I pray that you would give us the grace to endure it. Pray that we would be known as a church and as a people, as a community, as a group of Jesus followers that are patient with our brothers and sisters, that in so doing, we represent you well. For your glory, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.